Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today's guest, we have Han from Restore from Backup. Hey Han.
Hey.
Hi.
So we're excited to chat. Before Yes. we get into all the fun stuff, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and give a background on yourself and how you got into photography?
Yeah, sure. First and foremost, thank you so much for the invite.
Pleasure's ours.
No way. Yeah, so I guess I'm Han. I am one of the three curators over at Restore from Backup. And my start in film was only like maybe a year ago, maybe a year and some change. I started with a 6 megapixel point and shoot Kodak, something or another. I don't know. In middle school, I want to say I was always carrying some kind of camera around with me, and it was mainly for my Tumblr or my Zanga or whatever was
Zanga.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I was like, I have to get pictures for my blog every day. That's so important. And they're like the dumbest things. Just looking back and it's like, here's my
adolescence.
Yeah, just sad, pathetic, emo stuff that I thought was so important when I was 13. It kind of went off from there. I think after that, my dad got me like a D50 or a D7. I don't even remember in high school. And for the longest time, I know people were like, oh, you're part of the yearbook club, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I'm just one of those people that carry a fast camera around with me, Never did any cool skateboarding or band shooting stuff that I know, Timothy, you do. But that was really cool. I always wanted to, but I wasn't punk rock enough or cool enough, I guess, for that stuff. But yeah, it was digital all until last year. And I have to credit my friends, James and, the guys that I hang out with back at home, back in LA. They were riding that wave for, a couple years before me. And when I hopped on it, I was like, holy crap. That digital, this is way too exciting. Everything is the learning curve is just so, so steep. And it was like a newfound appreciation for photography for sure. And yeah, after that, Jason and Zach from Restore asked me to join, and I was like, heck yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So how long has Restore from Backup been around? Because I got keen to it not too long ago.
Yeah. I think we just celebrated our 1 year.
Nice.
Whatever, a couple months ago. Jason and Zach were doing it a handful of months before they asked me to come on. And it was originally Jason's thing. And then I think he and Zach, because they're so close in proximity to each other and they knew each other just from the film community online. Yeah, they started all that stuff, and maybe they need a woman's touch or something. So they asked me to hop on. But the community has grown so much, Restore specifically, and I know without them, I wouldn't have met half the people that I know now, and it's so cool.
That's the best thing about the community, I think, is every pocket, we're all expanding and becoming it's an amazing thing. And I have been really getting into your guys' community. Huh. I posted something in your Facebook today, and I was just like, man, it makes me all warm and fuzzy, I know we talk about it all the time on the show, the film photography community, but I really think it really is an awesome place. So
yeah, I don't know if it's just being so immersed in film culture now, but I'm walking around San Francisco and Oakland and wherever else, and I see people with film cameras.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know if it's, one of those things where if you're looking for it, you'll see it. But I don't know. I think it's a testament to how film is on the up and up, and we're going to bring it all back.
It might be a little bit of both.
Yeah.
It is pretty crazy because I finally broke down and downloaded TikTok.
a couple days ago. I'm really embarrassed to say this right now, but it's crazy because I was like, you know, I try to do YouTube. We have this podcast. Like, I love sharing stuff on Instagram, and I'm like, I wonder what TikTok has to offer, because I'm bored too. I mean, I've been stuck in quarantine for months now, and like, so I started looking on there, and there's like teenagers, like kids, like little kids, just like shooting film, like doing 1 minute videos on this is how you develop color film, and it's like they narrate through it. And it's just like, yeah, it's wild. It's just like, it's really come a long way since I remember picking up my first beater camera from Goodwill, you know, and having no idea what I was doing. And because, you know, I shot film in high school and stuff like that, but that's what we had. So I didn't really look at it like I look at it now, you know, like there's definitely like a creative canvas that comes along with shooting film that is so much more personal than digital. But it's just wild to see the growth. And I couldn't be happier, because just I remember when we started this podcast, Chris, we were like, we don't want film to die. Like, we're watching like Kodak dropping stocks. We're watching companies shutting down. And all we need now is just camera companies to start coming up again. Like people being like, oh, yeah, you guys like the T2? And you're spending like $1,000 on a camera that's going to break in a month, you know, like here's what we came up with, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's coming.
I hope so. So Han, I really want to tell you, I really love your work. And I was thinking, like, I don't know how to put this, but like everybody has like a certain style. How did you come to finding your style, I guess? Because your Instagram feed is like, it feels like warm in summertime, like with all the light is just so good. I just,
yeah.
Sorry, I'm not making much sense here, guys. I'm sorry.
No, thank you so much. I don't even know how to describe it. I don't think I have a style. I think it's constantly changing, and it is partly, you know, due to like what my friends are shooting. So like we'll go out and, you know, right now everybody's into vintage cars and like old buildings, right? So all right, sure, you know, I'm there, everything looks good, I'll shoot it too. So I guess in that sense, like, I don't really have a style yet or a focus on what I like to shoot, but these things look good to me, so you know, I'm shooting them. But yeah, I've gotten really, really into just shooting exclusively during golden or blue hour.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I'm like, the freaking tones, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like tones. It blows me away. I mean, I didn't believe it at first, right? Because I'm like, you know, whatever. Like, I'll have Portra 400 compensate for it because it's already so, you know, pastel-y and whatever. But no, like shooting at the right time of day, it just changes everything entirely. Yeah. And I think for the most part though, if I were to have a style, it would tie directly to music, only because like when I'm shooting, like I always have like a song that I think would fit what I'm looking at. So I hope it like resonates with the pictures. So yeah.
Dude, I definitely get that vibe.
And you're exclusively shooting medium format?
For the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I love the Mamiya RZ, and I have a Pentax 6.7-2 as well. And I just like have newfound appreciation for my Mamiya 7. So yeah, most of the time it's medium format. But since I got my Pacon scanner, I'm actually really, really enjoying 35mm, because I hated scanning or like developing it and then scanning it on a flatbed.
That's the worst. Yeah.
Terrible, right? And it takes forever. But yeah, the Pacon's nice.
So you're developing and scanning all your work?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, just color though. And then I send everything that is black and white to Dave Rollins.
It's usually the opposite. People usually develop only their black and white, and they send their color off to a lab. That's crazy.
I mean, black and white seems so scary to me. Like, I don't know.
Really?
I don't think I would do it justice. And I like Timothy, like you shoot exclusively black and white. So,
well, that's how I feel about color too. Like every time I'm, you know, loading my tank with a couple rolls of C41, I'm just like, this isn't going to look right, but I'm going to do it anyway because that's how I am.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I think there was an episode where I forget who it was, but like you guys were talking about like, you know, how you see the world. And so like, Chris, like you shoot mostly in color as well. So like, I think we see it mostly as something that is vibrant and whatever. And Timothy, you're exclusively black and white, right?
Obsessed. Yeah.
It's hard to translate it the other, you know, like with the other median or whatever it is. And like, I don't know, like I try to load my cameras up with black and white to force myself to shoot it. Mm-hmm. But when I'm shooting, I'm like, dude, that would look so good on or something. So it's like, it's hard. It's really hard.
I can't tell you how many times I've been like walking with a roll of black and white and been like walk by like a red door or car or something and been like, damn it. This is why I don't do this.
That's when it happens. Yep.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I commend everybody who shoots in black and white and is able to do it really well because it's hard. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. I just get so jealous of color shooters. Your work, Zach Parks, like his eye for, you know, the light that goes through his photos. I'm just always like, what the, how, I mean, and then I try to do that and it's just like blown out, nasty looking. Like, I'm just like, man, I just don't have the, like, I can play with light when it comes to black and white because you only have a handful of shades that you need to work with black and white. So I feel like it's almost cheating in a way. Like, no pun intended, color show, like when I shoot color, it's like I very rarely get what I'm looking for. I'm just like, well, I need to underexpose it because then, you know, the highlights will have retain, you know, and it's just always like, then it's muddy and it's, I need more practice with color. And I think that's, I mean, I started loading a color roll in my second, I carry two bodies now and it's like my second body's just designated because I promised when I got the M7 to myself, I was like, I'm never going to load a color roll into this camera. Like I swear on my life. And like a week after getting it, I was already like, Portra 400, I can hear you. Yeah, and I'm like looking at my, stop. So I had to get another like 35 millimeter body to carry around just for color.
That's what I need to start doing. I should just take two bodies, one with black and white, one with color.
Yeah.
Just to like maybe even take the same scene and to see which one, you know, I'll enjoy more after the fact.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. Probably do that too. I say that. So, that's not gonna happen though. Yeah.
They're like really making a point, like, okay, I'm gonna do a video on it, so I have to do it. Right. So what are some of the future plans for Restore from Backup? Anything, you guys have anything on the horizon?
Yeah, I think what we're working on now is trying to be more inclusive because, yeah, it was kind of like really hard love that some of our followers threw back at us during this whole, you know, Black Lives Matter movement and stuff where people thought that maybe we were, I don't know, exclusively just featuring like white cis male photographers.
Right.
And we definitely were not trying to do that, but we weren't cognizant enough to, I guess, look outside of that. And it was more like, oh, we're just going to go along with whatever people were hashtagging us under that we liked without looking like who
and
what and being more representative. So definitely that's on the forefront to showcase more like, you know, Black, Indigenous and people of color's work, regardless of whether or not they're using our hashtag.
Mm.
But I know that once COVID is over, I would love to do like a Restore from Backup and like whatever other curating, you know, accounts are up here in the Bay Area, like do some kind of meet or collaboration.
Yes.
Just get people out of the house because, you know, we're all dying to get out and shoot.
So ready.
Just do like a beers and camera thing.
Yeah.
Maybe like without the beers and camera thing.
So you guys haven't done that yet, huh? Had a meetup. That's a really great idea. I know we're all missing the meetups.
Yeah, because you guys do have beers and camera like in San Diego, right?
Mm-hmm. There's one in San Diego. There's one in LA too, actually. I don't think there's one by you yet, huh, Timothy?
No, they're in the talks, but this all happened, you know, 2020 happened. So we kind of I haven't heard any peeps since then. I think bars are shut down again too here. Like they were open for a month and now they're all shut down again. So
right. Timothy, you're on the East Coast, right?
I'm in Nashville. I'm originally from Pennsylvania, but I've been living in Nashville for the last, wow, it'll be 8 years this year that I've been here. That just seems crazy to think. Anyway, but yeah, I still feel like I'm in the East Coast, and then I like walk down the street and I just see myself shaking my head all the time because I'm in the South. But it's great. I love it here. You know, the arts are really thriving in Nashville. Nashville's really grown in the last couple years. Well, at least since I've been here. You know, there's still the closed-mindedness that really sucks about living in an area like this, but there's also everybody from California is moving here because it's cheaper, and they're doing TV production here, and they're, you know, it's really growing. The music industry is not just country anymore, right. And it's pretty cool. You know, it's pretty cool to live, I think, like 6 blocks away from Hayley Williams. But other than that, like, it's, I don't know if she lives there anymore. I heard that she sold her house and moved, but it was cool because, I mean, you'd see like Johnny Depp. I saw Johnny Depp walking down our main street holding his naked baby one time, and I was just like, I've made it. Like, I made it. But yeah.
Yeah, and Nashville's got a pretty decent film photography community as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Greer just moved here. There's a bunch of people that I didn't even know lived here, live here. And, mm-hmm. you know, definitely need to make something happen with all that once yeah. once the dust settles of COVID, which I don't know if it ever will, but, you know.
All the things are brought. I'm like, don't say that. So have you guys also done a zine, Han, or is that something you guys are... Cool. I thought I saw something. I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we put together a community-based zine where people were just submitting their work. And then I think we narrowed it down to like 50 submissions or 50. Ooh. We took 50 submissions and then we put together a zine.
That must have been hard.
It was so... Okay.
Take us through that process.
Like 1,000 or whatever it was submissions, right? And we're asking for multiple pictures per email or whatever it is. They're dropboxing us. So we're going through like 3 to 10 pictures per person, and we're getting like 1,000 or so of these email submissions. And they're all so good. It's just so hard. And we were trying really hard to not stick with one theme. Because we want it to, like, you know, kind of be, again, more inclusive of like other people's tastes. But also, if you weren't really in the film community, but like happen to see your friend looking at this book and something like appealed to you, that would be awesome too, right? So it was like, it was going into it thinking like that. And so I think, like, I feel like I was like picking things that kind of were consistent with the theme, and they were like, hey, let's try this, or like, let's add this. And I was like, yeah, man, that's fine. That's good. But we're really proud of what, you know, we produced and the people that got chosen this time around. And the zine like sold out so quick. I think we even did like two releases of it in like 100 batch or whatever. And then I think like all of or each of us, me, Jason, and Zach, gave away like 2 or 3 of them for like prizes or just to people who weren't able to pick it up for whatever reason. So that was really fun. And then we were talking about, you know, doing a second one. Or starting the submission process like at the end of this year so we could produce something maybe mid-2020. But yeah, I know times are kind of tough for everybody, so we don't want to be in a position where we release something for like $20-$25 and people who do want it can't afford it,
right?
Yeah,
so we'll just hold off and see how that goes.
So is that like the goal? Do you think you guys will try to do one a year, or would you like to up the ante on that once things kind of loosen up a little?
So Zach was the one that put it all together.
I could see that.
We'll do 3 a year. What the heck? Why not? Right?
Oh,
but
man.
He's probably like, no, we won't.
Yeah, like,
he's like, no, I like he designed it. You know, he was like the graphic designer for everything, and yeah, he definitely took the lead on all of that. So that was really cool. But I think one a year is a good starting point.
Yeah,
you know,
for
like,
sure.
You know, if you've talked to Jason, like he has ideas. Like every minute popping off with ideas, and we're just like, hold on, we gotta just finish something first and then let's try another one. But I mean, you know, he created the website, the Restore for Backup website, and that's awesome. So I think like maybe that is what we'll focus on before we move on to the next thing, because we're doing like monthly, I guess, like guests, well, not guests, but like spot artists. So like we'll pick an artist that we want to showcase their work for the month and like highlight them. And then as an aside from that, we are picking like our favorite photo that we featured every month as well. So like in the month of June, you know, the 100 whatever pictures that we've featured in the month of June, we'll pick the one that just stood out to all of us.
I love that because it's not just like highlighting every day or like making sure you highlight every day. It's like, this is for the month, like,
yeah,
just like, you know, leveling it up a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it.
See, I love that aspect, because there's nothing better than when an Instagram account that you follow features your work. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just like, I did it. Yeah. I did it, Mom. Look.
Exactly.
So I really want to get more involved. I just wish I wasn't so like stubborn with Instagram. I'm just like, I go through these love and hate relationships with it where I'm like, it's such a great platform. And then I'm like, man, it's sucking my life away. And then I'm just like, oh, but I love it.
That's why I was like, you joined TikTok?
Yeah. But see, the good thing about TikTok is, I mean, just like Instagram, you kind of just like drone through all stuff. And it's kind of a bummer when you do that with Instagram because there is so much good work. And imagine seeing some of that, you know, 16 by 20 prints on a wall or something, yeah. Or like 20, you know, like I would love to see some of that stuff because it doesn't get nearly as much credit as it deserves. TikTok is like literally cat videos and people dancing to the same song over and over again. Like it's kind of, you don't need to think, you know, yeah. With that. And I always feel so guilty on Instagram being like, wow, that's such a great picture. I double tap it. I write down like three fire emojis and a thumbs up. And then it's like, I never think about that photo again. And I feel so, like I said, just guilty about it. And that's why I wish we've been talking for years about doing something like you guys did mm-hmm. with the zine. And I have probably 75 little Moleskine notebooks that have like zine ideas. Yeah. My notes app on my phone is filled up with like things I want to do with the community and this podcast and stuff. It's just a matter of taking that step forward and just kind of like going in and doing it. Cause mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only way you get something done is by doing it. So just hearing you say that, you know, I could see how picking like a theme for the zine could be so daunting. It's like, you know, plastic grocery bags and every 50 photos of plastic grocery bags or old cars or something. Like you can get so much more out of just broader idea of thing. I'm just sorry, I'm kind of writing notes again in my brain right now of what I want to do with this.
Yeah. So Han, what's next for your work? Do you have anything?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
Yeah, what's on the horizon for you?
I mean, it's cool looking at everybody, like, you know, in the interim of COVID, like producing all of these bodies of work. Like, I can't tell you how many zines I've purchased.
Mm-hmm. The last it's months. Been photo books for me.
Yeah. It's a great way to pass time because God knows I'm like horizontal on my couch like 90% of the time.
Yes.
It's awesome. So I'm getting really inspired by that. I just I can't say I'm like entirely proud of my work enough that I would like, you know, put something out and then charge people for, but I've been like toying with something that's kind of like a little morbid, but like my partner was talking about how like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if like, you know, we drove by roadkill and we just like put get well soon signs.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Yeah. That's the thing. So it's going to be like super macabre or whatever, but I think that's what I would like to do. Look for it in 2020 or maybe 2022. But yeah, that and hopefully getting a website up. It's so daunting. I don't know like how people are so good with social media and like mm-hmm. advertising themselves in their work, but it's just when I think about it, I'm like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, it's a two-part job, I think.
Yes.
It's like shooting, especially if you're doing it professionally. Mm-hmm. It's like one can't exist without the other in some cases. Yeah. You know, like when I was shooting weddings, it was like you had to blog and share the photos and really do the work so you can keep working, basically.
Right.
But luckily for me, I always enjoyed that stuff. So like I could do it on my own when it's not for, you know, to advance the business or anything. Like, oh, I shot like, went to the beach, here are the photos, just because I like, you know, blogging is something I really miss. I talked about this on the show. I'm trying to bring back a blog, but it always gets neglected still. But
so down for that.
Maybe someday.
Like, that's what
soon,
I love.
Hopefully.
Like, I really, really enjoy blogs because, mm-hmm. you know, like you're getting a peep into people's lives, but then it's kind of maybe a behind the scenes thing mm-hmm. too, like what their workflow is or like what they're not posting. Like it's more personal stuff. And
yeah,
I love that. I love that stuff.
I've had the same like stuff on my website. I haven't revamped it in so long, but I remember when I like hit the go or the upload button to my website stuff, I was so like, this is really cool. Like I get to put a bunch of stuff up and yeah. It's mine. Like I don't have to like fight for attention. Like if somebody wants to come and look at my stuff and see some stuff that I don't share, because I don't really share that much on Instagram, and mm-hmm. I share more on my stories. Former guest, it was a perfect example. Today, while I was just kind of chilling after lunch and waiting for all this to happen today, I saw on his Instagram stories, he was just like, this is my 6th month anniversary of not posting anything on Instagram. This was my last post because I just lost the inspiration of, he's like, you know, Instagram's not catering to photographers and stuff anymore, as you can tell, because it's like with stories, when they release stories, now it's like Snapchat. And it's you know, it's so weird, but that kind of makes me feel, I feel the same, but I have no problem, which I haven't updated my website in for so long. Like I think the last update was like my office tour video in 2017 or something, but it's, I always, you should see how many drafts I have where I'm, you know, I get that little jolt of inspiration and I start writing about the deer photo that I made. I made like a roadkill photo. There was a dead deer along the side of the road and I almost didn't get the photo that I took. And I want to tell that story so bad because it's when we're excited, when we're out shooting, we're just like, pop, 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 pop. But like taking so many photos and being like, this is amazing. And you don't stop to actually think about, oh, wow, the sun's just blaring out this entire photo. But I, you know, like I really need to tell that story. And I have that opportunity with this website that's gathering, you know, digital dust on it right now. Man, it's just, yeah, I get that. I get, and like just the stuff that shooting during COVID has made me look at stuff that I shot in the past that I never did anything with, that was just like, this is a fair, like the county fair project that I've been working on since I go every year. I go for like either 3 to 5 days of the county fair every year. I have a couple thousand photos shot on, you know, Tri-X that I love those photos. And now I'm finally being forced to collate, you know, that work and maybe figure out something and maybe even go to them, like send them an email, like send them 10 of my best shots of the fair and being like, hey, next year, like give me exclusive, if you guys even have the fair because of this thing, like give me like a pass that lets me go behind the scenes of the fair. Like there's just like maybe take stuff that you were working on that you didn't realize was a project until now. I just keep promoting like going back and looking at your old stuff because I mean, I know Chris, you're not shooting much. Like what, you shot one roll of film since the COVID or something started? You know, it's, there's other things we can do with what we love, I feel like, kind of.
That's very true. And when you were talking about that, it kind of made me think like all of the people who shoot and don't share, you know, like Vivian Mayer, who
never shared anything.
I adore. And the most fascinating thing about her story is she was creating this phenomenal work, not even just like whatever, like incredible work. Yeah. And then she was like putting it in the closet. Like, what? You know, we're struggling over here. Like, is this good enough for Instagram? Like, you know, like it's just, it's just crazy to even think about like where everybody is in that creative, like, I don't even know, space. Timothy, you always say you enjoy like the photography part, the taking the photo. Some people love like the sharing and the creating, like it's just, it's, you know, I'm rambling again, but like to think about like sharing our work is part of it and we have all these outlets to share, but then it's like, well, where, like, I don't know, I printing your work, we talk about that all the time.
So good.
Doing the zines, like, just, I don't know. Sorry, I'm all like, it's all over the place.
Yeah, like, what, I mean, like, what works for you isn't going to work for somebody else, right?
Right.
Yeah. Like you said, like, what process you enjoy isn't going to be the same process I like. And I think that's what's really cool about it all. But yeah, I don't know. It's sometimes, like, you know, what you guys were saying, like, social media just gets really daunting too. And yeah, most days, like, I would rather just shoot for myself and, like, look back and be like, that's legit. All right. Now I'm going to put it away. Or like, maybe I'll print out one or two frames that I liked the most from the roll and I call it mine. Right. Yeah. And not have to share with anybody. But I don't know. There's also like, I don't know, maybe we're like caught up in getting validation. Maybe that's 100%.
Yeah.
It beats me up. Like it's crazy. Like my thoughts when I post a photo, the first thing I think of is if this gets 100 likes, I'm not going to delete it. If it's so disgusting, I hate myself for it because I'm the dude that's always like, dude, Instagram, it's the devil, you know? And then I'm just like, okay, it hit 100 likes. I can chill. I can put my phone down. And it's that validated that. And like, I cannot believe I feel that way. Like that's, I just like had a confession moment on the show right there. It feels good to let that go. Go, demon, go. But it's wild how social media makes you feel like,
But I think the social media, especially like what you guys are doing, Han, like I love.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Photography. This is how I know that it like this is my like one true love is like. Not only do I love shooting and creating my own work, I just will pore over people's work obsessively. You know, like my stack of photo books has gotten so big recently and I'm just like every day like, these images were so good. Like these people were doing these amazing things, whatever decade it was, you know what I mean? And what you guys are doing, I really love because it's like, again, getting to showcase people, I think is the most important part of our community too, is like, and I love that you guys are now being more inclusive and we're trying to do that obviously too. And I just think it's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really great that everybody's like, well, number one, like what we're always talking about community. Mm-hmm. You just don't get it unless you're in it. And it's so crazy. Cause like, I didn't know this thing existed like a year ago, but now here I am. And I feel like there's just so many people around me, even if they're like countries away or whatever, but like, that's just how cool it is. And that's how, I don't know, like cohesive, I guess, like film is or whatever. I don't know. It's so cool. Like it blows my mind. And I love having or being a part of something that builds people up.
Yeah.
Especially like if it's something that they, you know, are so passionate about. And it's also really cool because then you're getting like so many people shooting for different reasons, right? Like Chris, you do like commercial work, but then you're also doing it as a hobby, right?
And
like, like I'm purely a hobbyist too, but like there are people who are like doing it professionally or people who are just doing it for the first time, and like we're all in this sphere together. And it's like, you know, you could get featured one day and you've had like 15 years of experience, but then the next day we could feature somebody who just
bought a
camera. So like, it's so cool. It's
rad. That's the best. Who came up with the name Restore from Backup?
Jason.
That's a good name.
Anime game. I think he was talking about like something with the rockets. I don't know. And he was like, yeah, Restore from Backup. That's great.
Wow.
I love it. And the your logo is so cool. Like everything's so clean and like the website's great.
It's all Jason.
You guys are doing good stuff over there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, that was improvement, but we're trying.
With back to your stuff, your photography. I know you were saying about the roadkill project, which is awesome because I'm that guy too. Like I stop and always have to. It's gross and stinky and it's terrible because I'm like, I can't even kill like an ant. I was talking to my mom about this the other day. We're like, yeah, our hummingbird feeder's leaking, you know, sugary water everywhere. And they're
swimsuit check, sunscreen check, phone charger check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's just ants and I don't know what to do because I, you know, I can't kill them. She's like, just they're ants. And I'm like, I can't, like, they have a heart. Like, I can't, you know, like, I can't do it. But like, I get that. But other than that kind of stuff, what has COVID done to your photography? Like, what have you been up to? Like, how did you make it through? How'd you make it through this? Joking, but yeah. But how are you making it through this right now with everything that's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been rough. Like when this all happened, you know, we were like ramping up our, is it called like Instagram Live or something, right?
Yeah.
That's video feature and stuff. Yeah. So we were like, you know, we had people booked, I'm doing air quotes, booked to be on our Instagram Live that we would interview, like kind of like a podcast without a podcast. Mm. And they were like, you know, our favorite photographers or just our buddies that we talk to on the daily, some YouTubers. So like that was all in the works. And then again, you know, the Black Lives Movement happened and it was like, whoa, let's just take a pause on all of that.
Yeah.
And then like, I think I just got really depressed with COVID and with all of that happening. And I was like, Jason, I can't right now. So like I went kind of radio silent on my account. I went quiet for a while just to kind of work on my mental health and like, my emotional health because it was just so, so depleted. And yeah, there was a lot of just like doing nothing, reading, like everything but photography, yeah. like step way, way back. So that when I did eventually come back, I would say like maybe a month after, it was like new, everything was exciting again. Like I'd scroll through my feed and they would just be like thousands and thousands and thousands of pictures that I didn't see because I was away from it all. So there was like newfound appreciation for all that. And I think because people were still making work with, you know, the little that they had to work with, that definitely inspired me. So what did I do? I went around and I was just taking pictures of my partner and like, you know, household items. Again, these things were just for myself. But then we started doing like more evening walks after dinner, just so we weren't cooped up all the time. We were wearing masks because everybody should be wearing masks.
Exactly.
yeah. And so that helped too, because I'm like, okay, I want to go at least once a week, you know, to take pictures now because I'm excited for that again. And then we did that. And then that ramped up to like two times a week. And then like now with the relaxing of the health orders and stuff in San Francisco County and Alameda County where I'm living, we're doing more like photo walks with like really, really small groups of people. So that's helped a lot too. And it's like, you know, people that have their own projects too. So I'm like being immersed in that. Ooh. And it's just a good, I don't know, like I'm saying, it's just a good group and a good community to be a part of, because like they will pull you out of whatever state that you're in, right? And you can even reach out to people and be like, dude, I feel this way. I don't know you. I've never seen your face, like, because you live in Spain or whatever. But like, we talk daily and like, this is how I feel. And they'll be like, me too. Listen, this is what I'm doing. And maybe you could try this and blah, blah. It just helped a lot to like, to see everybody else be inspired so that it could re-inspire me, I guess.
Yeah, that's so good.
Love that.
And it's so true. Like, there's so many message threads going on, like in my Instagram, of people that I'll probably never meet. You know what I mean? They live in like New Zealand. I talk to a dude that's in New Zealand all the time and just about stupid stuff, you know, 35 millimeter. It started with 35 millimeter lenses. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, wow. So, you know, how does that render it? You know, and then it's just like, oh, dude, I shot these cats today. Or like, you know, it's just so crazy, like how connected everything is. And I didn't really take a break, which is crazy, because I got my Leica M7 like right when the shit hit the fan with COVID, and I've been, you know, doing solo walks, shooting the same stuff that I always shoot too, you know, like I don't know. I feel like the COVID fairy like tapped me with her little magic wand and was like, see this stuff differently, or give your chance to go at a different angle, or take your Polaroid instead of shooting the same thing you always shoot. Or I don't know. I get asked all the time on my Instagram of like how I'm still going out and shooting things during this time. And it, you know, I really wish I was shooting people. Chris, we were talking about this before we started, that it's just like, I want to shoot people. Like, I really, I'm not much of a portrait guy to begin with, but I was watching like one of my old YouTube videos that I made of shooting with this contortionist. And I was like, that happened. And we had so much fun. And I made some of like my favorite photos that I've ever made like that day. And like, I want that feeling again. I mean, I guess if it's done responsibly, and it's still possible.
Long lens.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't even say that. I mean,
so Han, back to your work again. You mentioned that you.
No more questions. No, we're done.
You mentioned that you like your work goes hand in hand with music. Have you thought about shooting any concerts or bands, or gone down that road with it, or is it just like the aesthetics of?
No, I mean, that would be cool. I think that would be really fun. Like in college, I worked for college and after. Like, I think my first job out of college, too, was, like, shooting bands and going to, like, you know, shows and stuff. And that was always really, really cool. But I was also, like, writing for really, really small magazines and stuff, too.
Oh, that's cool.
But, yeah, that would be... Because I've never shot any kind of... I would say it's, like, action, right? Like, because people are moving and whatever. Like, I haven't done action film stuff at all. So that is something that I would love to dive into. But portraitures and like shooting people is so difficult for me.
Same.
But I love it. Like, that's something that I would love to do exclusively.
Oh, cool.
It's just so hard. Yeah, like I think I said last year, like, I'm gonna work on portraits this year, and I've taken zero portraits. know.
Well, to be fair, we've been in the house for most of this year, so we're not counting that one against you.
Just like the first like four frames of every single role that I shoot is like a picture of myself with the camera.
Yeah, yeah. There was this one person that said that they always snap like a selfie, like a mirror selfie or a reflection selfie at the beginning of every role to kind of put themselves where they were with this role, which is really cool. Mm. So there's a little street mirror that, you know, you can see traffic coming. It's for turning out of a driveway. And I always do a little right at that spot just to kind of start the role. But I wanted to ask you, staying on this music thing, do you look at it more of like, there's a photographer that I've followed for a really long time. His name's Joe Aguirre. And he always talks about like a lyrical narrative. Like he's a big fan of, you know, having a song in his head and going out and, at least this is how I interpreted it, Joe, if you listen to this and this isn't your interpretation of this, I'm really sorry, but that's what I got out of what you said. But he, you know, kind of works on a lyrical narrative. And I try to do that too. Like if there's a song that I'm like totally obsessed with or just really into at the moment that kind of fits the vibe and I'm like walking around and shooting, like I try to portray maybe that in the photos or use that to kind of, you know, yin and yang off of or negative, positive, kind of just like use it towards something. Do you look at it that way or was it more of like a physically shooting music and stuff like that?
No, it's definitely a little bit of both, but I think I would veer towards, you know, what you were saying. Like, yeah, if it's a song or like a part of a song that I'm really, really into, I will go out there and try to find a scene that either mirrors that feeling.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, of what I feel when I'm listening to that song or those specific lyrics, or it could be something like literal too. Like I know that I was trying to do something with like a long time ago, like, you know, there are parts of like rap songs that you could take literally. maybe not all like safe for work stuff, but I mean, I have one in mind right now, but like, yeah, I was trying to shoot those things and then like, here's the lyric.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Now it's more like, I'll queue up like a playlist that I'm really feeling. And I make playlists for like seasons or like time of day kind of stuff. And like, I'll put it on. And then right before I'm about to go shoot, I'm like, all right, this is how I'm feeling. Like I want these photos to mimic that.
Mm. I need a link to those playlists for some inspiration.
Hopefully it's what you're into.
Now with that though, do you find like certain cameras and film stocks, do you feel like they kind of work toward, like, do you know, like, when you're in a mood, what the stock is that you want to use? Cause I know, like, Lomo 800, if I'm in a dark place, that's what I put in my camera. Or if like, I'm shooting, like, if it's raining and nasty and stuff, do you have any kind of solutions to that?
Yeah, I can't say that, you know, like, I pair my cameras or my film stock to, like, any of that, or you know, have a theme for any of that stuff, because it's already so hard picking and choosing.
Oh,
you know, like
yes,
yeah. Tell us about it.
Right. Yeah. Like in the like really, really early episodes, you guys were talking about how like you're gonna go out for dinner or something with your friends, and then like you show up with four cameras.
Yep. Every time. I even got a smaller bag, and I still shove freaking four cameras in it. I don't understand how I do it.
It's like, this is like a 20-minute evening walk, right? Just in the span of shooting within golden hour, because you know, like that goes away real quick, and I'm like, I need to bring all of my 6x7 cameras.
Yeah. Jeez.
So I got like, I'm like I don't know, double fisting like a Mamiya RZ and a Pentax 7. I don't know, it works for me.
The big boys too. Not even like, I roll with point and shoots most of the time. So
are you still? T4?
Yep, that's right.
We're live.
I wish I had that.
Dude, Chris, so I don't know if you guys saw, but
I'm
showing you a picture of a T4. I actually found this on the ground yesterday. It was like this, right? It was
shut up. Shut up.
Off. It was in the bushes. I just finished parking my car.
No.
I walked to the side to see like how close I am to the sidewalk, and like this, it was facing up like this with the the back wall off, and I kick it. This is trash. So I kick it, and then like it turns over, flips over, and I'm like, no. So I pick it up, and I'm like, oh my god, it's a Yashica T4.
Wow.
And I'm like, can you tell me what this thing does? This cover, is it a filter or is it like a protector?
No, it's just the
like a screen, like a protector. It slides open and closed. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So here's mine. It goes. And the lens will pop out.
Okay. Yeah. So like it did that, I guess. Or yeah, and you can see like it turns
that sound.
Everything.
Wow.
So the lens is like in perfect condition. I just need to like reassemble the door, but it works.
Wow.
Some poor person probably is like, I lost my T4. I don't know where it is.
No, this looked more like they got mad at the camera and just like threw it down and was like, forget it. You know, let me go outside of Han's house because I know that she'll
take it.
That's crazy. If that ever happened to me, first of all, I'd be like, am I getting filmed? Am I getting punked right now?
It's crazy. That's
insane. Well, I hope you get it working. It's a great camera. You'll love it.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I'm pumped to try it out.
Come down from heaven, right? To your...
Man, I've been looking at those like crazy lately. Like, do I want to do that, or do I want to go like the contacts route? Like, I really love. Yeah. I have one of the TVSs, the contacts TVS, and absolutely love the build of that camera. And it's like seriously the same exact camera minus the lens. You know?
Yeah, I don't think you need to.
I have too much going on right now. I can't. Yeah. You know how it is.
Enjoy your life. Yeah. Okay.
I am. I really am. But it's just so crazy, like how many different cameras there are, and just how obsessed you get with looking at them on eBay and or Facebook film photo group or whatever the heck it's called. Like, I just get caught in a hole, and then after like 45 minutes of messaging everybody and like just doing stuff I shouldn't be doing, I'm just like, I don't need that. And I feel really bad because I was just like, you need to hold that until Monday and then I'll buy it. And then I'm just like, I'm sorry. I was just really.
I was daydreaming. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I thought going into this? I was like, yay, COVID's going to curb, you know, like me wanting to buy any more cameras because I can't shoot. And I'm going to save so much money. And like, I think I bought like 3 cameras.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on?
It's funny. I had a tweet blow up on Twitter the other day. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I
didn't.
Like,
should I sell all my cameras and get a Leica? And everybody was like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, ah. I was like, everybody was like, yes, no, yes, no, yes. It was like a split 50-50 of like, yes, sell everything, get a Leica, you'll love it. Or like, no, like, keep out with your cameras and get a Leica separate from that. It's just like, I didn't realize everybody is, we're all the same. Everybody's, you know, feeling the same type of way. It's funny.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with a listener question for Han right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk comes from Polaroid. Use the promo code ANALOGTALK10 on your first purchase on film at Polaroid.com.
All right, guys, this is the part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. Chris, this listener was at our LA meetup.
I know, Robert.
Robert Lanes, R. Lanes. He said, how do you manage being connected to a community and continuing to shoot for yourself? I like that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Man, Robert coming in with the
heat.
Yeah.
I like Robert. He's a good guy. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's I don't know. It's sometimes really difficult because, you know, like we were saying, you're so immersed in the community and you get, I don't know, motivated by them and inspired by them. And sometimes, like for me at least, like right now, you know, what I'm shooting is mostly like what my friends are shooting. And I think it all goes hand in hand. Like, I don't think, unless you're doing like paid work for somebody else who have to stick to a script kind of thing, I think you're always going to be somewhat like immersed in what the community is, I don't know, like all about, or like whatever the hype is.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll like not affect but influence what you're shooting. For me, I don't think one goes without the other. Definitely not mutually exclusive.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think it's so crazy though, like how influential the community can be. Like, you find yourself perfect example is when the whole Pacific Northwest scene thing started, and it was like evergreen trees with fog with a mountain in the background. Like literally everybody was trying to like cop that style for the longest time. And I think it's probably been said on this show, and I know I've definitely heard it other places, before you get your own style, you kind of have to like copy and steal from people that you know respect. I think that's so huge, and I don't want to say who I was copying, because I'm sure you can figure it out if you look at my stuff, but you know, I learned so much from that, though. Like, it's such a learning, like a good teaching process to do that. So I don't know, I just wanted to kind of throw those two cents in there real quick.
Well, I mean, I guess just to build on that, if you're happy doing that, then that's fine, right? But if you're doing it and you're what you're taking pictures of is dictated by other people's posts, like, then that's probably where it should be like a line drawn with, well, am I doing it because I'm doing it for likes, or am I doing it because it makes me happy to be a part of what everybody else is a part of?
So true. Good answer.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we got to give you the really hard questions that we ask at the end of the show all the time. So it's the, you can only choose one desert island, one camera. What is it going to be?
I was thinking about this, like, since you guys asked me, I'm going to have an answer by the time. God, that is so hard.
I know. Choose your favorite child.
Yeah.
It's going to be some kind of medium format camera. You guys are evil. I guess right now it probably is my Pentax 672. I guess. Yeah. But I mean, it's great. Like, God, the lens on that thing, mm-hmm. the 105, the 90, they're so sharp.
Yeah.
And every single time, like, I think that maybe I either missed focus or whatever, like, framing was stupid or bad. Like, I'm proven wrong. And obviously it's not the camera 100%, but it's at least the camera 50%.
Yeah, yeah. Man, that lens, though, it will go down in the history books thousands of years from now, that, you know, how amazing. Because it's true, you can take a terrible shot and it's still like, that's still pretty. Like, I'm sorry, that's still a pretty shot, man. Yeah. Good answer.
I want to get into more large format stuff.
Well, yeah, since you've been playing with an 8x10 lately.
I know, I got my portrait taken on 8x10, and I've been seeing some like 4x5 and 8x10 work, and I'm like, okay, this is a whole nother category of photography, you know?
You haven't dived into that at all, the large format?
You haven't?
No, you haven't. Have you?
I shot 4x5 in photography school, but that was like forever ago. So I've been around it a lot more lately, and I've just been like, okay, this is like my like eye opening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just to like, I'm like, I gotta start shooting some 120 at least, you know, because I'm always shooting 35. But yeah, anyway.
Man, I'm so glad that I. At one point, I was so desperate for a Leica camera that I was like, I will give all my beautiful large format camera stuff away. And I'm just like, whatever, Mother Earth was just like, nope, like, we're going to make everything fail. So you do not give that camera away. Because now I think about it, and I've been doing a lot of still life stuff during COVID. And I'm just so glad, because I've taken one of my favorite photos with that camera. And it's just like, I always see myself retiring shooting large format. I have like a pipe in my mouth and like one of those crazy like pioneer hats. And I'm like out in a swamp taking photos with this camera. And I'm just glad it didn't happen. It's
Don't sell the 4x5.
And I always like set it up now. So however I point to it, where I just I see you. We're going to do something in the next couple of days. Don't you worry.
Yeah, I got to reach out to you about 4x5s.
Ooh.
I just got one, but I don't know anything about it. I'm like, I'll just buy one. It's fine. Yeah. And then I'll do the
That's how this, I mean, mine kind of came in a trade. It was just like, hey, I had a camera for sale and the dude was like, I'll trade you this. And I'm like, wow, yes, knew nothing about it and was like, oh, I, you know, you make so many mistakes until you figure out what works and stuff. You can't beat, the last thing I'll say on that is you cannot beat Intrepid's like, if you want to get into it affordably and, you know, their equipment, it's, you can't build a beat a filled camera that folds down into a little box and you can just throw in a book bag and go. Like, rail systems are always cheaper, but, you know, it's Anyway, I can go on and on forever.
Yeah. It's funny. I haven't thought about this in a long time, but when I mentioned I shot 405 in photography school, they were like selling some for like cheap. And a friend of mine picked one up because she was like, well, it's cheap. I should just get it. And then, of course, you know, that was right when digital was taking over and we were shooting weddings and stuff. She like never shot it and she ended up selling it for probably really cheap. And I was like, yeah, I didn't even think like this is before like I got bit again by film photography. So I was like, yeah, sell it. Like, what are you going to do that with that? Yeah.
What and are you going to do with that thing?
Damn it. But
that's how it goes.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
But when you get rid of a camera that you didn't think you were going to use or it wasn't important mm-hmm. or you wanted something else shiny, you know, when you do get that camera back, if that happens, like if you finally like my RB67, like I will. That thing is like in a safe. Locked away with a code that I don't even have the password. I mean, I really don't, but you know, like I am never getting rid of that camera again because I'll never forget the hole in my soul that happened when I sold that camera. Yeah. It's just, but when you get it back, like when I got it back, it's like, I probably shot that camera like 20 times since I got it back and it's been years, but it's such a gratifying feeling of like when you get one of your babies back and it's like, yay. Like, cause I don't know where I was going with that. That probably won't make the podcast, but anyway, it's, it's time for the second half of the terrible camera. Well, actually, this one's not nearly as bad as the first one, but it's our white whale camera. Is there anything out there that you haven't had a chance to shoot that you've wanted to shoot? We have time if you need to list like 75 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
No, like it's kind of bad because my answer is no.
Uh-oh.
Like that's good though.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm proud.
Is it? Tell my partner that because she's like, you know what? You need to really stop buying like 7 cameras. And I'm like, no, I don't.
No.
Try them all. That's the thing. You don't get it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I've shot enough of like the point and shoots. You know, I went through like the Nikon L35AF.
Mm-hmm.
I had like some weird Pentax IQ, whatever. Mm-hmm. I had the XA, the XA3, all of that stuff. And then it was actually Chris Visser. Is that
Visser? Yeah.
Christopher. Yeah, he and I were supposed to trade my Mamiya 7 for his M7.
Uh-oh.
And that didn't happen. And it's funny because now we're both like, we should have just made that deal so like we both would have saved money. Because we just kept working up to it. I went through an M4. An M4-2, literally 4 M5s, and then finally the M7, only to find out I did not like the M7. So
really?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the M5. It's the best.
So I've been Leica shopping, so that you're probably a good person to ask. I shot the M7 and really liked it. I also shot the M6, but I'm like, I don't know which Leica is really for me, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
like the M4 too.
Like, it's a really nice camera. I don't get why it's expensive though.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
it's a light meter, right? That's the one that,
right?
And it's like at least what, like $1,200
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you don't need like AE, you don't need the M7. And
right.
if you don't want to keep worrying about like electronics failing, possibly you don't need the M7.
That's the scary part that I'm dealing with. But like I'm on the brink of sending mine. I was talking to Matt Day about when he sent his M6 to Leica. I mean, I know it's going to be like $1,000, but I feel like if I'm going to continue to own this camera, I should send it in and get it like a full makeup and make sure the electronics are going to last and stuff. Cause that's the only scary part about the M7 is that it is electronic. Like,
but well, can you send it to Leica? Can they not fix?
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to brick. At least I don't think I haven't seen any horror stories about it doing that, but.
Yeah, because with the contacts, it's like,
oh my god,
that's it.
Yeah, which is terrifying.
Even more scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, Chris, I think you should go with something that has a light meter. I know you've been saying the M4 lately, but just walking around with, since I got the M3 yesterday, like it literally came in the mail yesterday, I know the Sony 16 and, you know, like I'm used to shooting like that too, because I shot like that for years, but there's just something so comforting about knowing with the M7 that has a light meter. And I literally shoot an aperture priority all the time. It's so quick for that. And I appreciate it for that, but I don't know. I think if you're gonna spend the money like that, you should at least get an M6 or the M5 has a light meter, right?
The M5. Yeah. So nice.
I think it's so pretty too. Like, and it's different. It's different.
Every single man. Now I'm gonna out myself, and like everybody who's bought an M5 from me is gonna hate me. But, every single M5 that I've purchased has been well below $1,000.
Wow.
$500-$600.
Wow.
And I just sent it in for a CLA to get the light meter to work, because that's the main thing. Like, they're so faulty. And I think, like, if you have a lens attached and like you throw it in a bag and it gets like kind of moved around or like bumped, that'll offset the light meter too for whatever reason.
Oh, interesting. That
happened with me. Yeah, three of those cameras. But it's like a CLA is like $200. So now you're looking at like a $700 camera. And if you wanted to resell it, trust me, you could easily resell
it for
$1,000, you know? But it's so, I feel like in my hands, it's more comfortable. It is a lot bigger than like an M6 or even an M7. But like the dial is also bigger, so it's more accessible.
Yeah, I like that you can do like the trigger finger with the shutter speed. That's important, because that's how my Bessa was. I could quickly change my shutter speed with the Bessa with one finger.
Right. Yeah, I like the M5. I mean, maybe try that out first.
And do some research.
That's cool, because I was, before I got the M3, I was just like, do I want to try to trade for an M5? Like, is there anybody out there with, because I got rid of my Pentax for the M3. I don't want everybody to think that I'm just like dropping thousands and thousands of dollars out there. Like, I try to be as tradey and thrifty as possible. If I can trade up or down, you know, like that's cool. Like, I'm totally down with that. Baseball cards as a little kid all over again. But it's, I don't know. I think you should do it, Chris, not to just keep harping on it. I think it's so important to, I mean, especially you're getting married, you guys are going to have kids, you know, like, you're going to have something that you can keep. They're going to be like, this was grandma's Leica. You know what I mean? Like, she loved it. Even if it just sits on their mantle, like, that's you that goes with that for years.
Oh,
you know?
Now I really have to do it.
I'm trying. It was funny. Matt Day and I, we were talking just the other day of like, we think we almost have Chris convinced of buying a Leica. He's like, now the next guest is getting Chris to get a Leica. And I'm like,
yeah.
Just do it. Yeah. I mean, they're so pretty.
Ugh.
Yeah. Like, they're timeless looking. Mm-hmm. You don't worry about any of that. I thought, though, am I incorrect? You can still use the M7 even if the electronics fail, as long as there's a battery in it, or no?
I don't know. I'm so terrible at doing research. I should probably like study on things a little bit. I'm not sure. I keep finding myself on these like horror story pages of the M7, and I'm like,
That's the case with any camera.
Yeah.
It's the contacts. Like, I've gone through three different G2s. I'm just so scared. Like, every time I take it out, all I'm thinking is, okay, this is when it's gonna stop.
Yeah.
So I need to sell it. So like, I'll shoot like 10-20 rolls with it, and then I'm like, no, tomorrow's the day it's gonna break, so I need to sell it. And like, I do that, and I'm like, oh, you're still shooting with it?
Yeah. 2 months later.
I have to buy another one. So.
Oh man.
That's too funny. Well,
yeah,
this has been an amazing episode.
This is so much fun.
Thank you so much.
You.
We love when we can just nerd out like this.
Yes,
where can everybody check out you first and foremost? And then obviously we'll start from backup.
Right. So I only have an Instagram and I am at Hawnfawn, HAWNFAWN. And Restore From Backup is at Restore From Backup. We have a Facebook group, a Reddit, a website, and whatever else Jason hasn't told us about. Twitter. I want to shout out Matt at Softboy Films, because she's running our Twitter account. So thank you so much, Matt, for doing that. She's like, it sucks. We kind of always forget that we have a Twitter, because she's doing such a great job.
Oh, awesome.
You know, just like handling it alone. So thank you so much.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, head over to Instagram. It's at Timothy Makeups. I also make film photography related YouTube videos. Easiest way to find it, search bar Timothy.makeups. You'll find a bunch of stuff there. Chris, where are you?
I am Chris B. Photo on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We have a Analog Talk Twitter, Analog Talk Pod, Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram, and we also have a Facebook group. You can join and share photos and talk to each other and all that stuff. And that's it.
That's it.
Cool. Han, thank you so much again. This was so fun. We're glad to have you.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
First off, Chris and I would like to thank Han for coming on the show. It was great getting to know you and talk about Restore from Backup and your photography and all that fun stuff. I think we had a couple good laughs and just an all-around good time, and nerding out with like-minded people is always fun. Thanks, Han. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. We have a bunch of stuff over there already. We also release our show 2 days early. For even a buck, you can listen to the show. And we also do, you know, Patreon after shows. We're rolling out Patreon exclusives where it's just for you guys. We're actually going to start bringing some former guests back on for those, you know, have 30-minute conversations or just try to figure out some fun stuff for you guys. So head over there. It's patreon.com/analogtalk. Just like I said, for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. And yeah, so that's going to be it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week with an all-new guest, guys. Later.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.